Okay, so I said we would talk a little bit more about contact lenses and putting contact lenses in solution on Shabbos to round out our discussion of Malabim. So the one who seemed to have first addressed this in a robust way is Rabbi Rubin in the back of the first volume of Orach HaShabbos. We've got a last time of Liyosha's Tshuva printed here. But let's just go back and try to parse a little bit more clearly what the issues are. So in Rabbi Rubin's presentation here, he assumes, number one, that you have to be choshesh that soft contact lenses are worse than leather, that they are somewhat absorbent, and therefore you have to be choshesh that they are subject to libun, and you have to be choshesh that they are subject to shriyuso zokibuso, and therefore putting them in water potentially could be a problem of the mechabes. Then he assumes, number two, that even if you were to treat it as ore, and therefore ore is not subject to shriyosa zokibuso, that he has a chiddush, which he assumes is a davar pashut, Rav Yashu seems to endorse as well, that even when it comes to ore mamish, if you were to put ore in a cleansing solution, that would be a problem of kibus. When we say shriyasa lo zehu kibuso for ore, that's only if you're putting it in water. But if you put it in a solution meant to clean it, then even in ore, that would be a violation of mechabes. And therefore, even if you were to treat contact lenses as the equivalent of ore, it would be usur, and then you would entertain the permissibility of putting it in water or a saline solution, which is not a cleansing solution, but putting it in a cleansing solution would still be a violation of kibbutz. Rav Yashiv seems to endorse that presentation, as does Rav Osner in the tshuva printed here in the back of the Orach HaShabbos. Now, what about putting it in water or saline solution? So he says, if the objective is just preservation and not cleansing, and it wouldn't be the norm to immerse something in a saline solution if your intention was to cleanse it, but you still have to address shriyasa zeo kibuso. Shriyasa zeo kibuso applies even if your intention is not to cleanse it. So he says, maybe you would say that Ikar HaDin, we assume like the Ri, right? Ikar HaDin, maybe we assume like the Ri, that you don't say shriyasa zeo kibuso if something is totally clean. And even though in general we're machmir, not that way, we're machmir to assume that shriyasa zeo kibuso is a problem even with something that's clean. But Ikar HaDin, the halacha is like the Ri. Especially if you assume like the Rush that we saw, that even if something's a little bit blackened, it's still considered to be clean for purposes of not invoking shriyasa zeo kibuso, even if it's a little bit blackened. Plus, over here, what are we talking about? Whatever lichluch you have on the lens is probably not nira la'ayin. So then maybe that's a makom lahaka. Even though then he has another svara that even if something's not nira la'ayin, whatever amount of dirt or film you have on the lens wouldn't necessarily be easily discernible. But he has the following svara. So right now, you cleaned your lens last night and you take it off tonight. So how much dirt or how much film is there on the lens? It's probably not noticeable. But if you don't wash it regularly, then it's going to accumulate. So Rabbi Reuben thinks, at least possibly, that if it's the kind of thing that if you don't clean it regularly, it's going to accumulate to create a really noticeable film, that even if you don't yet get to that level, that's still considered to be enough of a lichloch that would be subject to Shriyasa Zokibusa. Rabbi Bleich doesn't like that. Rabbi Bleich, in his article reprinted in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 5, that I thank Rabbi Wiederblank for bringing to my attention, he doesn't think that far is at all compelling. You have to look at the appearance now. If right now there's no lichluch that's near the ayin, what difference does it make that over time, if you don't clean it, there will be a buildup that's near the ayin? But anyway, Rabbi Reuben throws that out, that maybe even if you wanted to be maker like the Re, and say it's not near the ayin, and therefore it's not considered to be dirty and subject to an issur shriya, maybe it is halachically dirty if we're worried about the potential accumulation over time. And then he notes that at the very least, even if you want to be makel in a water or saline solution, at the very least, you shouldn't rub it, because rubbing it be a dayin, that's shifshuf, that definitely would be a problem of kibbutz. So Rav Yashiv, in his shuvah here that we referenced previously, so in the end, he says, you're allowed to soak it in water, or presumably saline, but not in a cleansing solution, in order to prevent it from getting damaged. If you wash it before Shabbos begins as well. So it sounds like in his analysis, if you make sure that it's clean before Shabbos begins, then there's not going to be, even if you're going to reinsert it into your eyes when Shabbos begins, by the time you take it out overnight, a few hours later, there's not going to be any real accumulation of note of any dirt. And Maker Din anyway, even if we assume in general we're machmir against the Re, even if something's clean, but here you're not really adding anything. If it was clean before Shabbos in your Shriya, doesn't really have any additional effect as far as the cleanliness, and therefore that should be mutter. And Rabbi Bleich, in his presentation, doesn't understand what's the need to wash it before Shabbos. Lemaisa, there's no lichluch that's near the ayin anyway, and he's not sure what washing it before Shabbos is going to accomplish. So, in Rabbi, yes, in essence.
Saline not a form of cleansing solution?
Saline is apparently not a form of cleansing solution. It's it'll preserve it, but it doesn't clean it. So here's the issue. Rabbi Wiederblank brought this to my attention, but if you look all over the internet and talk in any website that discusses how to take care of your contact lenses, they will tell you that if you put lenses in saline, then you're potentially exposing yourself to a risk of infection. So I'm reading from AAO.org, which is the American Association of I think ophthalmology. So they write here, do not use saline solution to disinfect your lenses. They're not disinfectants. And then from another website, saline solution is meant to rinse small particles off of contact lenses to hydrate your eyes. While this may sound like saline can clean your contacts, it really can't. It should just be used as a rinse. Storing your contacts overnight in saline is also a big mistake. Saline doesn't clean your lenses like disinfecting contact solution, so you leave yourself open to possible eye infections, microorganisms, and other irritations. As opposed to contact lens solution, the primary usage of which is to clean lenses out of daily buildup of germs and other particles, which should not be used to rinse out your eye or lens. It's essentially saline solution with additional cleaning compounds. So you put the cleaning compounds in your eye, that could be a problem. You put the contacts in saline, that could be a problem. So you're only supposed to put contacts in cleaning solution. Now, all this far and talk about saline as being a better option than cleaning solution. Although Rabbi Wiederblank told me that he discussed with Rabbi Sablowski, I just spoke to Rabbi Sablowski before, who said that he consulted with Dr. Daniel Roth, who's a co-author of all the Rabbi Bodner medical Sfarim, who is a retinal surgeon, which should qualify him to talk about these things. And he said, there's really no concern if you just put your lenses overnight in saline solution once a week, there's no concern of infection. So Imkain, then the Sfarim seem to be basing themselves on legitimate suggestion. Now, in this article that I sent you from Or HaShabbos, volume Yud Zayin, this Rabbi Yonatan Sigler, who I don't know who he is, but he outlines over here that there are three types of dirt that could affect a lens. So number one, you have regular dust that could accumulate on a lens just as on regular glasses. Then you have protein deposits that come from tearing of the eye. And then you have fungi. So he writes, and Rabbi Bleich, I think more or less, presents the same kind of a mitzias, that the dust doesn't get absorbed into the lens. It only stays on the surface. And those particles can't penetrate the plastic or the actual lens material. It's only the protein deposits that come from tears that could potentially be absorbed into the lens. But even there, it likely only adheres to the outside level of the lens. He says, regular lenses, you're not going to have any accumulation that is near the ion. And even the protein deposits only appear as tiny white dots, I guess. But he says you wouldn't notice them unless you don't clean your lenses for a week. So the author here thinks that if you're talking about just putting it in saline or water, so then number one, you don't really see anything. There's nothing near the eye. And even if something would be cleaned, it's eino miskaven. And maybe it could be makel to treat contact lenses as or and not as a beged. And that's subject to Shriya Sasoki Busa. And then he has a one line tshuva from Rav Sternbach that says, sounds like he's saying that if you do it the normal way, that's okay. It's, in the end, he entertains even cleaning it in regular cleaning solution. Maybe if that's the normal way you do it, since there's no lichluch near la'ayin, that's not really kibbutz. It sounds like Rav Sternbach maybe endorses that. Shmuel Shabbos Lachasa has a brief sentence, Parakas Vav Se'if Pei Gimel, where he's Mako, but he's talking about Ma'abe, not necessarily Shriya, so it's not really clear what he's Mako on. Right. That putting it in solution would not be a problem with Mabit. But he's not addressing Shriya there. And in the Sefer Torah Samalachos, Tela Gimel, page Kuf Mebez, he quotes the Rishon Zaman, that Rishon Zaman was Mako, but it's not exactly clear from there what parameters Rishon Zaman was Mako on.
Wouldn't the
Mabit
question have to be like the opposite of the Hebrew question?
Correct.
So you can make it because it's not or, but then you have issues.
Yeah, but that doesn't. Lamaisa, those that are makel are not makel on contact lenses because we're treating it as or. I think we're assuming even if it's a baguette, but it's not really. Either it's totally clean, there's nothing near lion, you assume like three to some extent, or it's not. And we're not worried by about Triasso Kibusa. I mean, they'll be mitzari after the fact that maybe they treat it as war. That's not the standalone reason. So to be makel totally, even in contact lens solution, would be to assume either that it's not subject to shios kibbutz at all, or that maker adin, we assume like the re, that if it's totally clean and there's nothing near la'ayin, that there's no problem of shriyaso zel kibbutzo, or that your intention is not for the cleaning, even if that happens memela, there's some combination of those factors. I asked Rishakta this morning what he thought. He thought that you should be machmir even in saline solution. Rabbi Willig said that he tells people to use saline solution. He wasn't aware of the discussion as to whether that's safe or not. But assuming that the Rabbi Sabalowski's report is enough to go with, so then he thought saline solution would be better. Meaning, if you have a material or a solution that will prevent infection but is not going to cleanse, then that would be better. You know, if And the concern is if you have something that is meant for cleansing, that is potentially a bigger problem. And Rabbi Sobolevsky thought that even regular cleansing solution, he thought was fine for that reason. Okay, so that's some of the discussion of soaking contact lenses. I guess if anyone has contacts, you can ask your doctor what they think about saline solution on a once-a-week basis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Like most of us are saying we don't even wear them, we don't even store them overnight because we have dailies.
Yeah, dailies? Okay, that solves the problem.
That solves a lot of the issues.
Right.
But I feel like when it falls, that if you're putting them in Shabbos morning,
right,
and they fall to the floor, and you're
yeah,
them, so then,
yeah,
I mean, it seems like there's still like a nickel back, but
I mean, applying pressure is a bigger issue, or shift is a bigger issue, according to everyone, than just soaking. I mean, it's better putting it in water. If it falls on the floor, what do you do to clean it?
So then you put it back in the container.
Right.
You don't really rub it around. You can avoid rubbing it around.
Right.
You can try to just drop it back in.
Right. So dropping it would be better. But for cleaning purposes, is it enough to put it in saline or water?
Nice. Water, it's a little bit spare.
And saline?
Saline, I assume you could put a little saline on it right there. And that assumes that like you always you
need to put it in a saline solution rather than like to dip it in a.
Right. Because what's in the packaging? You'd have to have a bottle of saline and candy. Have a bottle of like cleansing solution in case they ever need extra in addition to what's in the packaging. But we need that saline solution candy for Shabbos. But then you definitely have a swatter than being clean before Shabbos because they've been soaking in the packaging for months and months and months.
Right, but even if it falls on the floor, there's presumably nothing that's near L'ayin, meaning if it falls on the floor, do you...
I think you get near L'ayin sometimes. Like if it's on the floor in a not-so-clean bathroom.
Right, okay.
You could get hair.
Right, yeah, that's true.
But that part is also external to it.
Right, it's not...
Right, so if it's totally surface, that might be analogous to the notzos. If you have a feather on your suit... So that it doesn't get embedded at all. And that's part of what Rabbi Bleich is writes about there, that any lichluch is not really embedded. It's really on the surface and shouldn't be subject to kivus at all. If you have daily, so then you have much less to worry about. In this Ora Shabbos, he has a letter from a Dr. Pudel, who's an optometrist in New York, dated 2002, that says, sadly, the question was, do the cleansing solutions enter into the lens, or do they only clean on the surface of the lens? So he says, he would theorize that the chemicals act within the lens in the same manner that they act on the surface of the lens. However, all solutions are manufactured with the intent of cleaning surface, lipids, protein, and dirt. And if any protein is removed from the inside of the lens, it's incidental to the intent of the solutions. As far as experts that I consulted know, there is no scientific proof that this occurs, since there are no electron microscopic pictures of protein inside the lens or the removal of protein from the inside of the lens, meaning no one really cares outside of a halachist whether the solution cleans anything inside the lens. All of the electron microscopic studies are on the surface of the lens. The chemists who developed these products are never concerned about internal cleaning, but only surface cleaning. In conclusion, I would say the multi-purpose contact lens solutions are intended to clean surface protein, lipids, and dirt off the hydrogel lenses through chemical action. However, since proteins can enter into the matrix of the lens, and the cleaning solutions can also enter into the matrix of the lens, one could conjecture that the same chemical cleaning process which occurs on the surface of the lens also occurs within the matrix of the lens. There is proof of the former, but not the latter. The theory that the interior of the lens is indeed cleaned is incidental to the intent of the product, which is manufactured to clean the surface of the lens. The proposed method by which the interior of the lens is cleaned is theoretical but plausible, since the protein is present in the interior of the lens, as this is the cleaning substance. So the show will probably thoroughly confuse the doctor. But if that's the case, then that's potentially more reason to be makel that there's no real effect of the Shriya on anything internal. Okay. So let's move on to Tzoveya. Okay. What was Tzoveya in the Mishkan? The Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma, Aros Elim Adamim, Tzvuos Hayu Adom Lachrei Ibudan. That the Aros Elim were dyed Adom after they were tanned. So there was dyeing of the Oros Elim. The Mizrahi comments over there. And that Rashi, Lo Adumim Itchilas Briyasa. It's Meduyak in the term in Chumash of Adumim, not Adumim, that they weren't naturally Adumim, because then it should have said Adumim. Ela Adumim Mibinyan P.L. Hadagush, Shemekabelas Hapu'ula Min HaMe'ade. So it's Me'adamim was receiving of one who was Me'adeim them. So they were colored, they were dyed, or they were naturally colored. Okay. The Ramban and Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, of course, the Yerushalmi, that has a totally different take on Tzoveya B'Mishkan. This is on the Mishnah, beginning of Perek Shmona Shratzim, that Shmona Shratzim Amur Mitorah Hatzadan v'chol ben chayev, that if you are tzad or chovel in one of the Shmonas Ratzin, that's a malacha deraisa. It says Rashi on the Mishnah, chol ben chayev, the Eshlan or, in the Farshba Gemara, v'havilei chabur shein chazeres, v'havilei told the shochet. The first one Rashi is that the chiyuv for being chovel one of the Shmonas Ratzin is mishum shochet. Lishnachrina, kevin the Eshlan or, nitzba ha'or, v'dam ha'nitzerbo, that the hide is going to be colored by the blood that is flowing out, and that is Mishum Soveya. That if the hide is going to be colored by the blood when it's bleeding, that is a Malacha of Soveya. Says the Ramban there on Kuzayinim and Aleph. He quotes Rashi. And then he says, Aval b'Yerushalmi, Periklal Gadol Masasi, Mat Sviya Haisa B'Mishkan, Shayu Misharvitin B'Behema, V'Oros Eilin Ma'adamim, that they would scratch the animals. Amr Yosi Hada Amra Haosa Chabura Vinitzer Hadam Chay Mishum Saveya, that they would scratch the animals and the blood would come out, and that would be an instance of Saveya. Not that they applied dye, but they scratched the animals and that caused blood to come out. Then it goes on, Hamadim Odein Bisafa Chayev Vamotzi Dam Chayim Mishim Natilos Shamash of El Samaka. So causing the redding in this animal is a chiyuv. So the Rishami seems to have understood that the aros elim adamim were reddened not through the application of dye, but through scratching the animals and causing the hides to redden through the bleeding and scratching of the animals.
Why do we scratch the animals?
Why do they scratch the animals? To give it a reddish...
For the purpose of
giving it a reddish color. And that's the Oros Eilim Adamim. So the Chai Adam is bothered. Nishmas Adam Klal Tes Os Gimel. Why did the Yerushalmi come on to this and not just tell you that they needed to dye the ureas? The Rashi clearly says that the Oros Eilim Adamim were dyed hides. And the Yerushalmi says that they scratched the animals to create a reddish color, and that was Saveya. But what about the Tzviya of the ureas? So the Chai Adam thinks that the Yerushalmi had a different take on what the gather of Tzavei is. V'nirali, that Yerushalmi tafas oshita cheres, the Isa Sham Yerushalmi, hada itasa desharka apa desharka ma'azla, that there was a woman who was dyeing her face, and that's Chai Mishum Malabe. Yerushalmi says, dyeing your face is a violation of Malabe. Esachayada, when we malabin, isn't that Saveya? Applying makeup should be Saveya. So the Chayadim suggests, Lachay Nirali, this really the Yishami. The Mashit Sovin Tsemer, the Koldavar, Bitseva Acher, Kolzel Bechlam Alabin. That if you dye wool with another color, or color your skin with another color, that's Malabin. The Maishna Malabin Oshar Tseva. Malabin in its essence means you're whitening something. So fundamentally, what's the difference between whitening the wool or reddening the wool? Shouldn't that be the same malacha? The Chiyuv de Tzaveya, says the Chayadam, according to the Shami, is Dafka Kishosa Tziyurim. So Tzaveya is only if you're making designs. As Yerushalmi says, Hatsar Tzura is Chai Mishim Kosev Mishim Tzaveya. So even though it's true that in the Mishkan they dyed the Urios, the Tchelos, we are Gaman, but that was a single solid color. So that's Bechlal Malabin, not Bechlal Tzaveya. And that's why the Yerushalmi says, so what Tzviya did they talk about in the Mishkan? So Yerushalmi has to command to the fact that they're Misharvit in Be'elim, that they're scratching the rams, in such a way that there were streaks of red, but it wasn't totally reddened. And that was the Arose Lim Adamim, according to the Yerushalmi. So that's the Chayadim's Chiddush, your suggestion, that the Yerushalmi has a totally different take of Soveya. Soveya, the way we know it, coloring something, if you're coloring it consistently in a single shade, would actually be Malabain. And Saveya is only if you are making a streak of a color or a shape of a color, but not totally coloring the tzemer or the beged or the object. So says the Chayyad. Aruch HaShulchan is also bothered with this Yerushalmi. Why the Yerushalmi doesn't talk about Tcheles and just gives you this funny case of scratching the Arose Lim Adamim, Aruch HaShulchan at the beginning of Simen Shin Kaf. And he says that the Yerushalmi is coming to tell you a Chiddush. That you might have thought that Saveya is only Chayev if your tzoveya, the entire unit, that you take your piece of tzemer and you dye the whole piece of tzemer. But if you simply scratch something and create a little bit of a red streak, that wouldn't be tzoveya d'oraisa. That's the Chiddush Yerushalmi. Even this case is considered tzoveya. That lomi by that being tzoveya the urios, that was also tzoveya in the Mishkan. The Chiddush is, even this case of Misharvitin, Ha'elim, that's also a violation of Saveya. That was also an instance that they had of Saveya in the Mishkan. Okay. What taka is the difference between Saveya and Kosev? How are you magdir the difference between Saveya and Kosev? So the Stifler talks about this in Simon Mem. But before that, there's a line in the Chidush Eran, the real Chidush Eran, on the Gemara on the top of Tzarich Hey Amud Aleph. So we'll get to this Gemara in a few moments. But the Rabbi Ribiat points out this Ran. The Mishnah says on Tzadi Dal and Mubeis that if you are kocheles, you apply rouge, that's a machlokas of lazer and chachamim, is that nisa derais and nisa derabban? So the Gemara initially says in the Tavat Sani Heimer Aleph, kocheles mishum sovas, that the act of kocheles is a violation of soveya. Says the Chidush Eran. There's another girsa in Rishonim here, another girsa some of the Rishonim had. Instead of Kochelef Mishum Sovas, they had Kochelef Mishum Koseves.
The opposite. The
word
is
just as possessive, so right. So they had right. Meaning right. I'm sorry. We should have started earlier. The Gemara right. The Gemara initially says, "Godelus mishum aragas, ochelus mishum kosaves, pakasus mishum tove." And where it says, "Lachi derek siv v'kach derek tri v'kach," it's not true. Ella kochelus mishum sovas. So there was a girsa that has kocheles mishum koseves even the maskana. I'm not sure how it read. I mean, the Gemara's rejection was l'chiderek sivu b'kach, and where it says no, it's not koseves, it's sovas. So I'm not sure where this girsa fit in, meaning how the previous line of the Gemara read according to this girsa. But the point, l'nyanenu, is that the Ran writes, kasubit the tosvos demishom tzovas garsinan, de lo shaycha ksiva ela b'midi dahavi mitam roshe. That ksiva is only shayach in something where it's mitam roshem, she came in Mishkan hayu roshmin al akrashim, so they made marks on the krashim kedei lamod al sidran, to know the order of the krashim. Hilkach mishum sovas garsina. So lemaskana can't be that kocheles is mishum ksiva, because ksiva is only where it's mitam roshem, where you're making a mark to identify something, to identify an order, to identify something. And that's definitely not the case in applying makeup. So it must be that it's Mishum Sovas. So the Stipler tries to analyze, how do you define the difference between Soveya and Kosef? So initially he writes, this is Simon Mem, that Tzviya means asiyas tikun b'davra nitzba shemashbicho umiyafeyu b'zeh, that you're enhancing the subject of the dying, that you're enhancing its quality. You're doing something to the object that is receiving the tzviya. Umlechas ksiva hu ipcha shadavar shenichtav alav hu mishamesh laosios vikaro lasias osios miskafe. That when you write something down in a piece of paper, the paper is incidental to the ksiva. Because you're interested in the letters. You just can't have letters out of porchos ba'avir, so you have to write the letters on a piece of paper. When it comes to tzoveya, he says, your interest is enhancing the subject of the tzviya. You have a piece of wool, you're enhancing it by dyeing it. When you write letters on a piece of paper, you're not enhancing the piece of paper. You're interested in the letters. The paper is secondary. And he says, that's Bavur in the Rambam, Perikid Aleph Halacha Tes. The Rama writes, Hakosev Amenas Lekalkel Haor Chayev. Let's say you write on a piece of leather, but your intention is to destroy the letter with your ksiva. That's still a Malacha Deraisa. The chiyuv isn't defined based on the recipient of your writing. it's defined based on the writing itself. The disciple says, Mavur, from there, that the thrust of Ksiva is the letters, not what you write the letters on. And that's based on a Tosefta. And it says that'll also explain the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi that says the Chai Adam references Hatsar Tzura, if you draw a shape, Harishon Chai Mishim Kosev, Vashen Mishim Tzaveya. Hatsar Tzura, the first guy is Chai Mishim Kosev, the second guy is Chai Mishim Tzaveya. What are we talking about? Who's the Rishon? Who's the Sheni? So the Korban Eda says the first guy drew the shape with the O. So he's Chayim Mishum Kosev. The second guy colors over the O. He's Chayim Mishum Soveya. So that sounds like the difference between the first guy and the second guy is that Ksiva is if you use ink, and Sviya is if you use something else to enhance it. But that can't be, because you're going to tell me that if you write letters in color, that's not going to be Chayim Mishum Kosev. So what's really the difference between Harishon and Hasheni, and Hasheni in that case in the Yerushalmi? He says, Lefia now, where the first guy wrote the letters in ink, and the second guy traces them in color. What's the Korban Eda? The Korban Eda says that the first guy is Chayim Mishum Kosev because he's writing the letters, and the second guy is Chayim Mishum Soveya because, well, sorry, all the Korban Eda says is that the first guy is Chayim Mishum Kosev because he's writing a D.O., and the second guy is tracing it with color. That's all he says. So the disciple says, it sounds like what we're saying is that if you write something in ink, that's Kosev. And if you then write it in red, that's Soveya. But that can't really be, because if you write it in red the first time, so you're going to tell me that Soveya, that's not Kosev? It can't be the function of, I'm sorry? And why would it be Soveya?
I guess just a Kosev.
So he thinks that the real pshat in the Yerushalmi is based on what he explained, that if you write something in ink, that's Kosev. If you're then going over it in color, so then your intention isn't for the letter, it's to enhance the product. To be miyafa was already there. Enhancing the product is Soveya. But then he says that this explanation is not sufficient because of another Rambam, Parakaf Gimel, Halacha Yudal. So if you look in the Ein Mishpat here on Sadeh Hayim and Aleph, in Oath Aleph. So he points out the difficulty in the Rambam. So the Rambam Perek of Gimel Halacha Yudbeis. The Rambam writes, "Kosev me avas malachos lefikach asu lichol bepoch v'chayotze b'shabbos." So you're not allowed to apply rouge because that is kikosef. So look at the Ein Mishpat here in Os Aleph. Kasa kocheles mishim koseves. Kasa shilte gibor mishim riaz v'lo yadati lo yishov. Because the Gemara concludes that kocheles mishim tzavas. So why does the Rambam say mishim kosef? Which seems to be the girsa that the Ran was quoting that the Bali Tosis rejected. That the Rambam in the same girsa as the Smak. So be that as it may, the Rambam tells you that Kocheles is Mishum Kosev. So that's the case that doesn't fit in with the Stipler's definition. That a kosef is where you're interested in the letters, you're not interested in enhancing the product. That's not true when you apply makeup. As in his previous definition, that should be tzaveya, that shouldn't be kosef. Then he says, maybe I have to fine tune it, that the gather of kosef is that the letters are supposed to be on the paper, but not in the paper. And tzaveya means that it's supposed to be in the paper. It's supposed to be in the wool. It's supposed to penetrate. So kocheles could be b'chlal ksiva, because when you apply makeup, it's supposed to penetrate the skin. It's not supposed to be just on the surface. It's supposed to become part of the person, part of the object. But then how do you explain the Yerushalmi? And then we're back where we started with the Yerushalmi of Hatzar Tzura. So he leaves that as a Tzarachian. He's noted to his first definition, but he says it doesn't really fit with Kocheles. But then and a second definition of penetrating or not doesn't fit with the Yerushalmi. So he leaves that as a tzarach iyan v'shem yair einenu b'mu'or torah so hakadosha. Yeah.
In Tanya, the first definition doesn't really fit the precedent in the Mishkan because they're also roshim and the krushim to improve the object from the standpoint that you now know which parts go next to each other.
That's not an improvement of the object. That's just an FYI. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's... You could have put a post-it also. And your point is to know what the order is. Okay, so let's give that a little bit more thought. If we can come up with a better distinction that would account for all these Stipler's concerns.
On the Ran,
Whether it's geirus is that the maskana is mishum kasevus and not meaning like the Rambam. You know, the Rambam. The Rambam seems to have a geirus, or at least that's what the Mishmar quotes on the side, where the maskana kalchalus is mishum kasevus. So that's the right mishum kosev. So that's what the Ran quotes in the Bali Tosis rejecting such a girsa that in the end is mishum kosev because he says that's not so. Kosev is only if you're roshim.
So Tosis rejects the
girsa. Tosis rejects the girsa that the conjecture is Ran b'mevet. But again, I'm not sure. I didn't look at all the Rishonim, so I'm not sure if it's clear for any of the Rishonim how that Girsa, what that Girsa had before it. Meaning, the way we have it, the Gemara suggests Koseves, and Rabbi Jackson says, no, it's Sovas. But if you have Koseves, the Maskana, so what was the previous line of the Gemara? You take a look if any of the other Rishonim have it. I didn't notice before. Okay.
And the second suggestion is Sovea penetrates.
The second thing of the disciple is the difference between kosev and sovei is that sovei is meant to penetrate and kosev is meant to remain on the surface. Okay. But either way, on this Gemara of Kocheles, so that's the Machlokas Tanam and the Mishnah of Lazar and Chacham. According to Lazar, talking about a Malacha the Rice, according to Chacham, we're talking about a Malacha de Rabbanan. And the Rambam writes in Parakuf Beis, Halacha Kuf Gimel, Hatzaveh me avos malachos, lefikach asur leisha lahavir srak al paneha, neshi ikitzavah. So that's the hemshah of the Gemara here, the maimer of Reb Lazar, the Brisa, chenei Reb Shimon Lazar, omei Shimon Reb Lazar, even if the Ram was gores that kocheles is mishum koseves, but havaras rak is mishum sovas. That's what the Rama writes in Kaveis of Gemo. Mneshihi kitzovas. So kitzovas sounds like that's a dinder abanan. Sounds like the Shita Slachan. I mean, this price of Reblazer, the Lotavis Rak of Unem Neshet Savas. So, presumably, that's Reblazer who is Mechayev in the case of the Mishnah. So, here maybe Melacha the Rice as well. According to Chachamim, it's only a Melacha the Rabbanan. And the Rambam says that it is Kit Savas. Which sounds like it's only the Rabbanan. Why is it only the Rabbanan? So there are two important qualifications within the Malach of Tzaveya that will knock something down to a the Rabbanan. So number one, take a look at the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel. Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel. That's the shear. That in order to have a melacha the rice of tzaveya, the color has to be miskayim. But it was not miskayim. Like applying this makeup, pater sharei atamavira l'shaito ve'eno tzavei aklum v'kol she'em alachdom is kayem es b'shabis pater. If it's not miskayim, that's not a melacha d'arais. Where the rabbi know this from? So the Magen Mishnah points out it's not mefurish in the Gemara anywhere in the tzavei context. But the Gemara has this klal on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, the opening Mishnah in Perek Habona. The Mishnah says that klal kala osa malacha malachta miskayam es b'shab es chayiv. That in order to have a chiyav deraisa, it has to be a malacha, malacha miskayama. So the Mishnah says this in the context of bona. Bona, the Rambam tells us it's true for tzaveh as well. It has to be miskayim. And that's what the Magen Avraham quotes in the end of Simon Shin Kaf. Excuse me, in the tzaveh context, Shin Kaf Sifkatan Kafei. What is the gather of miskayim? So we'll talk about this more when we get to kosher, when we get to kosev. But just briefly, for our purposes, the Minchas Chinuch comments in on the Malach of Tzaveya. So he's writing about kosev here first. He says, "B'din haKosev nira she'ein haksav miskayim ba'atzmo afila below masadidei kugon mashka mei peros." So, if you're going to write in with fruit juice or some very not miskayim material, that sav eino omi klau, so it's not going to last. Af imlo nimchok. Even if you don't actively erase it, that's Eina Miskayim. The Ein Svar Lomar, Da'ide Mechika Lo Yamod, Da'ide Mechika Afila B'dio Yachal Limchok. The Ein Svar Lomar, B'dio Yerushuma Nikar B'yad Nimchok. Rak Misad Asfarim, Yuchal Lama V'lo Maisa, Ha've Miskayim. So when we talk about Miskayim, it doesn't mean is it Miskayim V'Pola. If your definition was miskayim v'poel, so then if you erase it, it's not miskayim. So obviously miskayim isn't defined by whether it's there at a certain point. It's whether left to its own devices without any interference will it last. So if you're right with fruit juice, it's not going to last so long even if you don't touch it. So miskayim is defined based on what happens if you don't interfere. Now what is this shear? So for now, let's just look at one more makom, which is the Mishnah Berurah's analysis in Simen Shin Gimel in the Sha'aret Tzion Sifkatan Samaches. So the end of Simen Shin Gimel is this din that we just saw of Srak, Mechaber Reis and Sifkafei, Asur Li'isha Shetavir B'Shabes Srak Al Paneha Mishum Tzaveya. Not like the Rambam, meaning that it's Saveh and not Kosev. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Ayin Tes. Sorry, we'll come back to that later. Look at the Sha'aret Tzion Sifkatan Samaches. So this is in the context of the next Sif about braiding, where there's a difference between Miskayim or not. So the Sha'aret Tzion writes Samaches. Basalom or Isa Reish Parakabona Debina Dafka Shadei Malach Miskayemes Begamli Nixiva Kamilan Debina Dafka Shiyefta Bedar Miskayim Ap Reish Parakabona Isa Shama Mishnah. The lush in the Mishnah, if you read it literally, is Melachta Miskayames B'Shabbos. So it sounds like the standard is, will it last till the end of Shabbos? The Chaymash on the Yisaiti B'Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel, Ayin Sham Hetev. That's the Rambam that we just read. Because the Rambam says, "Sharei ata maviro l'shaito ve'eno savei aklum, v'kosha emalachta miskayamis bishabis butter." So basically, Lashon HaMishnah, he thinks the same mashmos there, that the standard is it going to last till the end of Shabbos? The Alkein under Tzvichim Lomar, Demasha Mishnah Pateras Bixav Shayna Shokayama, Kigabimashim May Peros, Ayn Mishim Shayna Miskayim Klau, Afil Yamashabbos. The reason that you're Pater, if you write with fruit juice, is it's not going to last till the end of Shabbos. Achein b'Rashi sham isa b'mishnah d'hai b'Shabbos ha'osa malacha kai. So look at Rashi there on Kufay's Amud Beis. Rashi writes, Kalaosa malacha u'malachta miskayemes sheyesh miskayemes kayotze bo b'Shabbos ha'osa malacha kai. Meaning, whoever does a malacha, which is miskayemes on Shabbos, and on Shabbos is modifying when the malacha is being done.
Most of the short film is difficult. You know, Sazen Brechel is Shirin. They do it Friday night, they do it Shabbos afternoon, they do it Shabbos morning.
So that's what he says. Amishta Klala Kail Zaklal, but yeah, so in a Kanami, but he kind of acknowledges that a little bit. He says, according to Rashi, Osa Malachakai, Mashma Mine, Dibi Inan Sheye Miskayim Tamid. Miskayim means forever. Lodaibi Yom Shabbos Lachud. The Binyanenu Eni Yodei Adulai Miskayim Al Yom Shabbos. He's not sure what Tosis holds. So those are the two possibilities. Is the standard based on the sign for Shabbos? Is the standard even longer? And we'll talk more when we get to kosher about possibly other standards for what's excuse me, what's considered shel kayama. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. I was a little overly ambitious in thinking we'll finish Saveya today. So we'll talk next time about the other parameters of Tzviya. We'll talk more about Eina Miskayim, Tzviya Bora Adam, Tzviya Be'ochlin, and Lee Nether, we should be able to wrap up Saveya next time. Sunday will be around.
Right.
Right. So presumably you can't mean that. Right.